In a moment when Ohio State needed to turn things around in a big way, they did that Saturday afternoon by beating the Purdue Boilermakers 59-31. Garrett Wilson goes off. The offense looks a whole lot better. The defense still has things they need to fix. We'll hit all that and more in this instant reaction to Ohio State's latest win.
Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is a Saturday evening. My days are all off whack. A Saturday evening in November the 13th in the year 2021. And this episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. I want to thank everyone out there also for making Locked On Buckeyes their first listen of every single day. And feel free to jump into the chat. We will be interactive the entire show. The Ohio State Buckeyes needed a game where they made a statement, where they came out and they were hitting on all cylinders on at least one side of the ball. And Saturday afternoon in the Shoe, that was a game where they did that. All week long, people have talked about how Purdue could really mess things up and they're the spoiler makers. And I've heard all these terms to describe this Purdue football team. They beat Iowa. They beat Michigan State. Will they beat Ohio State in the Shoe? These are things we've talked about, we've heard about all week long. And when you look at how the game transpired, how the game went, you may think, well, maybe the offense heard some things. Maybe the defense heard some things. Maybe the coaches heard some things. And all of a sudden, they know if we just play our game, if we exert our will, if we control things in the trenches, we have this game in the bag. And it surely looked like that from the beginning to the end. The offense got the memo. The numbers, they're amazing. Garrett Wilson comes back, and man, let me tell you guys, he came back in a very, very, very big way. To the tune, 10 catches, 126 receiving yards, 3 touchdowns, and it was his game. I'm just amazed that every time I watch him play, I am still amazed at how good of a player he is. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Chris Olave both had 9 catches apiece. They also both had 1 touchdown apiece. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 9 catches for 139 through the air. Chris Olave, 9 for 85 yards through the air. Also, you also have Mayan Williams and Trevianna Henderson. We talked about it on Friday about how and why they should split carries. 14 carries for Mayan Williams for 117 on the ground. Trevianna Henderson, 13 carries for 98 on the ground. That would have been over 100 yards, but he did go out of the game with an injury. I want to say in the third quarter, it was the latter part of the second, early part of the third, he went out with an injury, 2 touchdowns on the ground. It really wasn't needed for him to come back in at that moment because the game seemed like it was going to be under wraps no matter what because the Ohio State offense was just hitting and rolling on all cylinders. However, in any game, we could all talk about the offense, talk about how great they are. The defense in this game, there were numerous things that they did not do very well, and Aiden O'Connell, the Purdue quarterback, took advantage of those. 40 for 52, 390 passing yards. He was very close, very, very close. I thought he would eclipse this mark of throwing for over 400 passing yards in back-to-back games for the first time in his collegiate career. The quarterback that was not the quarterback at the beginning of the season, it was Jack Plummer. I believe that's his name, not Jake Plummer. Jack Plummer, who was not the son of Jake Plummer, the quarterback that came into the NFL in the late 90s. The younger Plummer, the Plummer that's at Purdue now, he is the one that I thought Well, hey, he's going to be the starter all season long. And then Aiden O'Connell comes in, shows he is the starter, and he should be the starter. And that's exactly what happened. Ohio State could not slow him down all game. Really, they hit a lot of quick passes and really dinks and dunks all over the field. Really some things underneath. And the Ohio State offense was amazing. And when you need a statement, when you need a game for things to go your way to make a statement for everybody around college football, this is a game that can do that. Everybody knows Ohio State's pass defense is going to give up passing yards throughout portions of the game or most of the game. People have seen throughout this as well that the Ohio State offense, when it's hitting on all cylinders, there might not be a team in college football that can beat them. Greg McElroy on the broadcast, I saw some people on the Twitter that were pretty upset and, well, I won't say upset. They were annoyed with the broadcast during the game, and they were saying, oh, you guys are bad. You guys are this. You guys are that. Well, they may have agreed with something Greg McElroy said at the end of the game. At the end of the broadcast, he was talking to Joe Tessitore, who was on play-by-play duties for this game, and Joey Tess said or asked, who do you think can overtake Georgia in college football? And, of course, everyone's going to say, oh, it may be Alabama. Before today, where Oklahoma lost, he said, oh, it's going to be Oklahoma. Even though a loss does not mean you can't beat a certain team, but I don't think Oklahoma could beat Georgia either. But Greg McElroy, in a way that only he could, he said it's probably this Ohio State team. Now, not saying prisoner of the moment and you're caught up in what you just witnessed, but maybe he was. But when you look at the totality, too many times we get stuck and wrapped into the day-to-day, game by game, instead of looking into the totality, the big picture, about everything going on about that team, about those players at that time. The Ohio State Buckeyes, I firmly believe, they are the only team in college football that can't compete with Georgia. Might be hard for me. You may say, Jay, you're being a homer. But when a guy on a broadcast says the same exact thing that works for one of those bigger companies, not saying Locked On Podcast Network is not a bigger company, but that four letters, the worldwide leader that holds a lot more weight, I think it hits a whole lot different when he says it, Mr. McElroy, than when I say it. This episode of Locked On Buckeyes is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect, a place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did somebody say Locked On Buckeyes watch party? Ba-da-ba-ba-da. I'm loving it. Ohio State wins 59-31. And in their win today, there were a few players on offense that simply just went off. That simply were hitting from point A, the beginning, all the way through this game. They were just feeling it. Play after play after play after play after play. I want to hit a few different position groups today, a little bit different than normal. Normally, I try to hit certain players, but as I go through each position group, I believe you'll firmly understand why I'm changing things up, because there are so many players that you could just look at and say, ha, I understand. I firmly understand why things are this way and why the offense flowed like it did. Let's look up front for right now. In the run game, the Ohio State offensive line has been challenged over the past couple weeks by Penn State. By Penn State and also by Nebraska. Penn State linebackers are flying all over the field, filling the gaps very quickly. And it was very clear that the Ohio State offensive line was having issues. Now, it wasn't just the linebackers. It was also the defensive front, the slanting, the shifting, the twisting, the stunting that they were doing with the front three or front four, depending on looks that each team gave, because Nebraska runs a 3-4, but they will come in and bring in four down linemen throughout different portions of the game. So no matter if it was a three down front or a four down front, no matter the team you're playing, both schools, Nebraska and Penn State, caused some issues for the Ohio State offensive line. And in that moment, if I'm DeJuan Jones, if I'm Luke Whipler, if I'm Paris Johnson, who was somebody that did not play well for a couple weeks in a row and got criticized for it, if I'm Therb Mumford, if I'm Nicholas Petit-Frere, I am taking this as a challenge. I am checking my pride and saying, look, I get I'm a man. I get I'm a player that needs to fix certain things. I get everything. But you know what else I get? I firmly understand that I need to realize us as a unit, a person is not perfect every single day. A person does not have flaws, will not have any flaws. Everybody has flaws. Everybody has issues. Everybody has something they can fix. And this offensive line was challenged last week over the past couple weeks. And what we saw today against a guy in George Karloftis, I know Mel Kiper says he's the number 21 overall prospect in this upcoming NFL draft. I think he might be slightly higher than that, but this offensive line and pass protection, you did not see the George Karloftis that really wreaks havoc and messes up opposing offensive line's plans all game long. You did not see that because this offensive line, yeah, I'm sure they felt challenged and they accepted the challenge. They stepped right forward and did a phenomenal, phenomenal job with that. I love it. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. This offensive line, not only in the run game, but also in the pass game, because Purdue, when I look at their defensive stats here very quickly, Purdue had not only zero sacks, zero quarterback hits the entire game. Let that sink in for it. George Karloftis had three tackles of his own, one tackle for loss. You know he's going to get some numbers there. He's not a guy that's going to be a stat sheet stuffer, but you do expect him to hit the quarterback a few times, get 1.5 sacks. Didn't happen. You got to give credit to the offensive line up front because those boys played a phenomenal, phenomenal game. I talked about Garrett Wilson earlier, but I don't think I did enough justice to describe how Garrett Wilson played in this game. Think about it. He came off a game. He's coming off a week where he did not play a week ago. He was dealing with concussion-like symptoms, and he was not medically cleared to play in last week's game. And so when you think about that, when you think about Garrett Wilson not playing a week ago, when you think about Garrett Wilson being back on the field, will it be a slow game? Will it be something where C.J. Stroud will not go to a guy that he wants to go to all the time or one of his top receivers and top targets? It's possible that might not happen. But it didn't seem like there was any miscommunication, any connection that was not there throughout this game because Garrett Wilson was doing just about whatever he wanted. Yes, the numbers, once again, 10 catches, 126 through the air, 3 touchdowns, a long of 24. He had 12 targets, and he caught 10 of those targets. Let that sink in for us a little bit. He's not a guy, and Garrett Wilson is a better receiver than Chris Olave to me. Too many people out there wait till the NFL draft comes out. I do expect Garrett Wilson to get drafted over Chris Olave. Chris Olave was targeted 16 times, caught the ball 9. Now, I get it. One of those was one of those was a drop. Some of those were well defended, but 16 times targeted, that was the most times C.J. Stroud targeted a receiver, was 16 targets to Chris Olave in this game. Garrett Wilson, that boy just went smooth off in and out of breaks. His ability to catch the ball away from his body to make sure that when he catches the ball, he high points the ball in the place that the defender cannot get it. Garrett Wilson, once again, does a lot of things well. In the backfield, I know I'm saving C.J. Stroud for last. We'll get to him very quickly. In the backfield, with Trevion Henderson and Mayan Williams, we have seen a lot over the past couple weeks where it's been a one-back system. It's people will describe it as a bell cow system for Trevion Henderson, and he is a guy there that will get a lot of attention, will get a lot of carries, but I don't think the offense flows the best when it's just a one-back system. We talked about that also on Friday's show. And we saw that when Mayan Williams came in, yes, Trevion Henderson did get his. He had a touchdown throughout the game, and he was doing amazing things when he got the football. But the offense flows the best when it's a two-back system. Trevion Henderson, Mayan Williams. Now, I look at the numbers once again. I do think the carries would have still been Trevion Henderson would have had more carries if he did not leave the game with an injury earlier in the game. But it is the way that it is. 13 carries for Henderson, 14 for Mayan Williams. As Joe Tessitore so eloquently used the form of alliteration, bowling ball body build. That's how he described Mayan Williams' body. That's exactly how many people will describe it. 8.4 yards a carry for Mayan Williams, 7.5 yards per pop for Trevion Henderson. That 1-2 punch of those two in the backfield, them two together, I'm not sure there's many people in college football, many teams that will be able to stop, not slow down, will be able to stop their rushing attack. And then last but not least, went a little bit longer than I thought with everything else. CJ Stroud has been criticized a lot. May it be because of the play calls and how he is executing said play calls. Maybe because he needs to run the ball more based off how other people view things. Whatever it may be, CJ Stroud has been criticized a lot. We heard what he said last week about how if he was supposed to run the ball, he would be a running back. I'm a quarterback. I need to throw the ball. That's not an exact quote, but that is the thought that he portrayed during last week's post-game press conference. Well, CJ Stroud came back and responded in a big way. 31 for 38, 361 through the air, 5 touchdowns, 82 completion percentage, a passer rating of 204.8. People marveled at Aiden O'Connell and how he was eating up and going against the Ohio State defense that let him do all basically whatever he wanted. Yeah, Aiden O'Connell was doing certain things that were good, but CJ Stroud in this game was better than Aiden O'Connell. From the offensive line, to the running backs, to the receivers, the quarterback. Seemed like everybody on this offense was hitting on all cylinders the entire game. And man, there weren't many times that Ohio State needed to punt the ball or it didn't score on a drive because they were just doing whatever they wanted all throughout this game. This game was amazing. And I was kind of taken back at times at how easy it was for the offense to move the ball. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low calorie, low carb, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. Another great thing about Built Bar, there are so many mouth-watering flavors, including coconut and raspberry and mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and even cherry barcia. This month, Built Bar is coming out with new limited-time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and it's all one word, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. However, my plan, my hope, my wish, something that I was hoping would be able to happen here today after today's game was coming on this show, post-game show, and talking about how well the defense did. Talking about how many times players like Tyreek Smith, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, Zach Harrison, Zach Harrison, Jack Sawyer, Tua Tagovailoa, how many times they got to the quarterback and how many times Aiden O'Connell was not able to just dink and dunk and use an excellent use of the West Coast offense during portions of this game. That my plan was to talk about how they did all of these things so well, but it didn't happen. It did not. Aiden O'Connell, we talked and we marveled about C.J. Stroud, his numbers, how he played, how he looked poised, how he looked calm throughout every portion of the game. Aiden O'Connell, 40 for 52, 390 through the air, four touchdowns, 77 completion percentage, a passer rating of 165.3, which, remember, I didn't mention his passer rating before when talking about C.J. Stroud's. The 204.8, I think it just speaks volumes about how well C.J. Stroud is or how well he played. The 165.3 from Aiden O'Connell was amazing. Was 165.3. I thought it was going to be higher at certain times. The defense looked bad. Purdue's rushing attack is not there. I mean, you got a 7-yard rush from David Bell. 4.8 yards a pop as a team. That's not amazing. 19 carries for 91 yards. That's not nothing I'm looking to really take over and really take charge and say, yeah, you guys did amazing there. Now, granted, they bring in the backup quarterback and Plummer. It was first play, the only play, I believe, he was on the field. It was a fumble, miscommunication between the quarterback and running back on the handoff. A fumble recovery was there. That was a result of that play. Great. I love it. I love all of that. There are things that Ohio State did early, which really helped widen the margin. Ohio State also had 28 unanswered points. Part of that was because there was a fumble on a kickoff recovered by Ohio State. Ohio State ends up scoring shortly after they recover that ball. I believe it was a 2-play, 12-yard drive. Took only 11 seconds off the clock. It would have been the first play. But I believe there was an incompletion on the first play there, which derailed it being a one-play drive for a touchdown. Aiden O'Connell was dunking to different receivers all game long. David Bell, 11 carries for 103 through the air. It is his 16th game of having 100 receiving yards. And again, I mean, his numbers are astonishing when you look at in totality how well he has played while there in West Lafayette. But you also had Milton Wright, 7 catches. Jackson Anthrop with 7 catches with 2 touchdowns of his own. TJ Sheffield with 4 catches. Xander Horvath with 3. Brock Thompson with 3. King Daru with 2. Payne Durham. I mean, you get the gist now. You're saying, Jay, what is the problem? Well, Ohio State on defense, there's miscommunication all the time. It is not just with this is not so much the DBs, Cam Brown and Denzel Burke. It's not so much them that I'm really complaining about or upset about. There are things that they're doing now that I believe they're being taught that are not things that should be happening on the field when they are doing certain things in a play. Now, a few of the things that I believe Ohio State defensively messed up and got wrong. Number one, not in any particular order, but if you're going to be up and bump and run positioning or coverage and you're a person that is going to be right there and be a yard and a half off the line of scrimmage. When the receiver releases and when the play starts, you firmly need to, I would suggest bumping him off of his route or providing some type of resistance. Your first steps being backwards, not your hands being up to provide any type of resistance or just standing your ground and making him get around you. Honestly, that is something that next week against Reed and Naylor. Now, I do think one of them is hurt, the receivers from Michigan State. Forget exactly which one, so don't quote me and say, Jay, you said something wrong. No, I just am not sure which one of those guys. I know one was injured. I'm not sure if he is still hurt. But if you're going to play that upper kind of closer to the line of scrimmage, yard and a half off the line of scrimmage, put your hands up. Provide some resistance. I'm not saying it's going to be bump and run and you're playing man-to-man. It could be cover three where you need to make sure you have deep thirds, your deep portion of the field, or cover four, whichever one it might be. Cover four normally, you're a little bit further off the line of scrimmage, but if you're up close, get your hands up. Provide some resistance, because what these guys are doing is not providing said resistance, which is allowing these players to do everything they want to. while they're running their routes. Also, linebacker miscommunication. Everybody can talk about early in the game their quad set that Purdue had, four players to the boundary, and how the players were lined up and how everything, it was just miscommunication there with no one really knew who they were supposed to have. Here's some simple math. Many of us have been through school, graduated high school, some graduated college. So we should all know by now how to count. If you're with your kids or you're at a school and you may want to listen to this on your lunch break and you may have it on your speaker, not with your headphones, a little bit louder, I'm sure the youngsters you're with will understand this as well. If there are four guys somewhere, let's just say you draw a line right down the middle. Well, right down the middle here. Can't do it on the screen. And to my right, probably your left, but to my right, your left, if there is somebody right there, if there's somebody there on that side, if there's four players there, something tells me, well, let's match up one player for all four guys that are there. So if you want to put four corners right there, defensive backs, let's give them, great. If you want to put two defensive backs and the other two linebackers, great. If you want to walk the free safety up, probably not ideal, but if you want to walk the free safety up over that side, great. If you want to do certain things like that to where it is different variations of the players and positions that are on the field to guard those four guys, great. But just do it and then communicate. If there's one guy that's on the quad position, those four, no matter if it's boundary or to the field, and you want that person, you want to make sure you bump him, do something to him to derail him, because he's probably trying to be the initiator of some type of combination of routes to confuse you. If you bump him and derail him, it could derail number two, number three, number four. It could just be number two. And you know what that does? Causes confusion for them and bust the play up. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know who to get at that time. Then all of a sudden, a player is wide open for a touchdown. Miscommunication on defense. One thing these coaches have done is continue to play too many guys on defense. Now, sometimes the rotations have tightened down just a tad, but they continue to play numerous guys on the defensive side of the ball. And I believe that's another reason why there is so much confusion on that side of the ball in every single game. Yes, Ohio State at times is going to give up a lot of throws underneath. It's what they have done lately when they get a lead. Sometimes when they don't even get, like, well, I'm going to say a big lead. They get a lead. They might at times give up a lot of things over the middle or underneath to kind of prevent the deep pass. But what we saw today, when you do give up a lot of things underneath, a good quarterback will take advantage of that, get one-on-one coverage, touchdown. These are all fundamental things. Hey, if they're giving stuff up underneath and you're still derailing and messing up the route at the line of scrimmage, you know what else is going to happen? Probably that touchdown might not happen because the receiver is anticipating maybe you don't derail him at his route. You derail him 5 yards in or at the 4 yard mark instead of the 1.5 yard mark, messes up the timing. You know what else kind of messed me up with this defense? We're on the close up shop with this. You can tell the defense kind of got me going today during today's game. In this game, Ohio State had 0 sacks. In this game, now it's not just the Purdue side that I was looking at, Purdue had 0 sacks. Also, the Ohio State Buckeyes had 0 sacks. Also, you know what else happened? Ohio State didn't hit Aiden O'Connell at all. Yes, the Buckeyes have been blessed, and they have flourished with players like Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa. Unfortunate that his career was ended abruptly due to an abdominal injury early in his season that he left the team to prepare for the NFL draft. Also, Chase Young. It's unfortunate that you've had those. I mean, it's not unfortunate. Unfortunate that Nick Bosa left. Chase Young. Ohio State has been blessed with amazing, amazing all-time college-type pass rushers or defensive ends. But when you don't have those guys, it's a team collective effort. Now, if you can't get to the quarterback with your front four, are you going to mix up the coverage and mix up what you're going to throw at the coverage and the blitzing and stunts instead of basically, hey, I got a gap, I'm going right in the gap? Of course, you're supposed to. Don't see it much. A lot of the straight-up stuff that we saw under Urban Meyer, we're just going to run our base defense and dare you to beat us because we believe we are better than you. Mm-mm. Ohio State is not that stubborn. They're changing things up. But you know what else they are doing? Not getting pressure to the quarterback consistently. Yeah, they did it last week. Did it a few times. This Purdue offensive line is used to protecting Aiden O'Connell. They did it today. Aiden O'Connell had way too much time to throw the ball around. Even though the defense gave up 31 points in this game, it was still, it's kind of a bend but don't break mentality. They broke a little bit. They couldn't get off the field on third down. But you also know what happened? They did occasionally, but there were times Purdue did extend drives on third down when to me it's like, if you just get off the field, you would help yourself and be able to breathe and be able to get your lungs back and your breathing back, but it just didn't happen as much as we would like. Ohio State, I can complain a lot. There's a lot of good things that happened in this game. Ohio State wins the game 59-31. We'll be back on Monday. Ohio State basketball won on Friday. Had a great experience there watching them play. Ohio State has a game on Monday evening at 6:30 against Bowling Green. We'll be talking about that on Monday's shows. Things that I saw, things that need to be fixed, because Ohio State has two games coming up this upcoming week. One against Bowling Green and then against Xavier on the 18th. In the Gavitt Games. As always, guys, you can follow me on Twitter if you're not already at jsteven07. You can also subscribe on the YouTube. Just search Locked On Buckeyes on YouTube. Hit that subscription button and hit that bell. Stay notified every time a new show goes live. We're closing up shop, celebrating 9-1 performance from the Ohio State Buckeyes. And as we go, before we go, I want to remind you to make sure you check out the Locked On Big 10 podcast. Not only will I be on there on Monday to recap the weekend that was in the Big 10 football conference, but also its host Nate Dickinson will be on there to guide you all week long to make sure you get all the news on the Big 10 conference. He is a different host of a school in the Big 10 football conference that join him every single day of the week to provide all the news, all the updates, so we have everything we need to know about the Big Ten Conference, both football and basketball. Follow, subscribe to that podcast everywhere you get your this podcast. If you're listening to Locked On Buckeyes, subscribe to Locked On Big Ten on your favorite podcast listening app. Make Locked On Buckeyes your first listen of every day, and then make Locked On Big Ten listen number two. Buckeyes win. I'm excited. Let's enjoy this weekend, and also let's get ready for a big game from your Buckeye basketball team on Monday night.